This is the Norris Group's Real Estate Investor Radio Show, the award-winning show dedicated to thought leaders shaping the real estate industry and local experts revealing their insider tips to succeed in an ever-changing real estate market. Hosted by author, investor, and hard money lender, Bruce Norris.
Hi, thank you for joining us. Once again, we are with Craig Hill in studio. Craig, welcome back.
Thank you.
This session, we're going to talk about the money side,
okay,
the trust deed investing.
And yes.
What's kind of interesting is, I bet if I talk to 20 people just casually and talk about trust deed investing, they'll go, what?
Yeah.
It's not like it's stock or
right.
bonds. It's not mainstream yet, and it's
right.
really not even close, which is interesting to me.
Yeah, it really is, because when you think about a trust deed investment, I mean, probably 15 of the people that you talk to have bought a house.
Yeah.
So the process of buying a house is you find a house you want, you put some money down, you get a loan for the rest of the amount, and that's what they call a trust deed.
Yeah.
Well, our business simply is, we're dealing with investors who are buying a property for a business purpose, and they need to borrow a trust deed for some portion of that investment. So the concept to me couldn't be more simple.
Yeah.
And I'm going to take this a little bit further, only because I had a conversation yesterday.
Okay.
I had a client call me that with his retirement account, he wanted to borrow money to purchase rentals.
Okay.
That was how it started.
Okay.
And we got to talking about it, and he was a little out of our area, so you know, I couldn't help him, but really the conversation went on for quite some time just because he had a lot of questions. So I kind of said, well, we deal with a lot of retirement accounts, but they tend to lend money. And to your point, and I think this is so interesting, he asked, well, how risky are trustees?
Okay.
And here's somebody who's going to buy a rental.
Right.
Which
I think it's perfectly safe.
Yeah, that's safe because that you use the word mainstream.
Right.
Yet, if he were to buy a rental, say, for $200,000, he would have to deal with all the issues. If somebody moves out, and, you know, in other words, it's all his.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, there's benefits, too. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
But a trust deed, not only is he not going to have $200,000 in it, he might have $160,000 in it. And then somebody else is going to handle all those problems. But I just thought it was a very unique perspective because the word risk came up with trusteed, but it didn't come up with purchasing a rental.
Yeah. And, you know, I've been on the rental side and the trustee side, and there was a windstorm one time that took out a fence on a house that I owned.
Right.
As a rental. And I remember thinking, if I had a trustee on that property, I might have heard about the fence, but it wouldn't have entered my life.
Right. Exactly. All that is behind the scenes. And if you're doing it correctly, you shouldn't hear about any of that.
Exactly. What's also interesting in it, what you've just said, is that we can completely understand that investment. And yet a lot of times you'll have people, you know, talk to them, well, what are you invested in? And let's say, yeah, I'm invested in these stocks or this fund or this foreign stock or whatever. And you go, how could you know about that? How could you comprehend
right.
what it is your money's in?
Exactly.
And here they get it completely. They've been on the borrowing side. Now they're on the lending side. They can stand in front of the asset and make an intelligent decision.
Right.
If I end up with this, which be the worst case scenario and happens so rarely,
right.
it's almost never, that you kind of go, okay, why is that not more popular? But it isn't.
Yeah, it's a niche. And one thing I'm very thankful for is once people kind of understand it, they just, you know, somebody starts out with one and they just can't, you know, then they're upset when they can't get their seventh or eighth because they have more money to put into it.
Well, one of the people that you had a relationship with for a long time had a money manager who kept warning her and warning her and warning her over a period of a long time, over a decade, about, I don't know how this yield is
yes,
still happening.
Right.
And finally, I think he just gave in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Actually, a very good friend of mine who I had actually done trust deeds with her father, herself, and actually her daughter.
Right.
And as you mentioned, this was over years and years and years. And every year when she got her taxes done, they looked at it and said, this is really risky. And as you mentioned, it was probably 10 plus years ongoing where he finally said, I don't know what you're doing, but whatever it is, just go ahead and keep doing it. So, you know, and it's, you know, it's nice. This particular client is now retired. And part of that was because of trustees. She was able to manage her parents' estate well enough where interest paid expenses.
Yeah.
And that allowed the principal to stay there and, you know, allowed her to retire. And conversely, all the money, because we've talked about this, because she is a close friend, all the money and all the other like stocks, etc., none of that over time really made her any money.
Right.
So not that it doesn't for some people, but I mean, it's a very good way to go. And I know just personally, both of us have a lot of funds because we believe in it so much.
Yeah. You know, and maybe it's a good match for my personality because there's a computer on my desk.
Right.
And none of my trustees are on it telling me what they're worth every second.
Exactly.
And if I had a stock or gold or whatever, I have in my nature the wanting to look at how it's doing.
Right.
Not that I'll sell it or it matters, but it absorbs my brain somehow.
Right.
And when I have a rental and when I have a trustee, I don't do that.
Right.
So it's just a good match for me.
Yeah. And that's the same for myself. It's kind of the version of the TV infomercial, set it and forget it.
Yeah.
Because you really don't have to think about it. And it's kind of interesting because going back to our first example, the guy that wanted to buy the rentals, if you really look at it in those terms, the worst case of a trustee is his rental.
Right. At a discount.
At a discount.
Yeah. At a big discount.
That is the worst case of a trustee.
Right.
And over time, we've seen this. In 06, 07, 08, I feel we got through that period better than any hard money lender, and I would actually, I would stake my claim on that.
I think that's true.
But some issues were, you know, there were a couple where, you know, there was a lot of decrease in value. But over time, as a rental, all of those have solved themselves.
Right. Absolutely.
And there's not many investments that you kind of have that kind of track record with.
You know, going back into that era where it was really just ridiculous, you know, where prices were dropping in some areas 3% a month or so, the borrower that we had, I thought, was very cooperative in getting to solutions.
Yes.
And that was a big help. I remember making a phone call because we had a borrower that was always consistently right on time, and he was 30 days late for a few months and then made the payment. And I remember making a call to him and asking him, are you still looking for a profit motive, or are you just wanting to get the heck out of this thing?
Right.
And he said, yeah, I just want out. And I said, well, I'll tell you what, let's just hold an auction and we'll just do it.
Right.
And so that was the spirit of the borrower most of the times. They were trying to cooperate with us to get to the finish line. And because of that, I think we had kind of a cross cooperation from even the lending side saying, okay, how do we make this situation?
Absolutely. I mean, in what really was literally a crisis in the real estate industry, there were still solutions.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of investors agreed to take a lot lower interest rate just so the client could ride it out. You know, there were all kinds of solutions that were, say, engineered where you didn't have to go to that worst case where it's adversarial or, you know, you're working together, and that's something that can happen in that investment.
And I don't think we'll ever face in our lifetime that stretch of years again. So that's a once in a lifetime thing. But when you're on the lending side, there's misconceptions about who would be safe to loan to. So, I mean, if you've talked to me and saying I didn't know anything and you told me you were going to loan to investors or I have a choice, I can loan to an occupant,
right?
I would probably land on the occupant space thinking that was safer.
Yeah, and that's a good reason why it's hard to do it on your own in a way.
It is.
Because, I mean, I could almost guarantee I could put two deals in front of an investor and they'd take the wrong one.
Right.
Because it just there's just a lot more to it. I should say this: there's a lot less to it in a way than people make it out to be.
Okay.
Like a lot of times they want to look at, like, well, I want to see their financials, or the, you know, there's just, in other words, that goes back to the bank scenario, and the banks aren't have proven not to be that good at picking in certain times anyway. That's another thing I would do. I think I'd put our track record up against the banks.
Absolutely.
In terms of defaults, there's no doubt about that.
Well, I guess got to speak in front of Fannie Mae in Washington, D.C., came with our performance of, you know, what our loans, how much loans we have, and the percent that are current.
Right.
And it did beat theirs. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, what was interesting, and we'll talk about this, some things where you think it would work better. So we have 60 people there that are the top people discussing the concept of lending investors more dough.
Right.
And it came up, okay, well, I think we should cross collateralize with other stuff.
Right.
I said, that sounds like a really good idea, but you won't loan to the right guy.
Exactly. Exactly. Because you got to, each deal has to stand on itself, or that it's not a deal.
Right.
So if you have to throw something else in, well, then why are you even doing an original one in the first place?
Right. You'll go to you'll loan to a client that has to say yes to your proposition.
Right.
And you're passing on our client, who has proven their pay 99.9% of the time, you're going to say, yeah, we don't want you because you won't do this.
Right.
That makes no sense.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. There's with us, we just have, over the years, we've developed, I mean, we look at obviously the property. We've talked a little bit about that in the previous segment, as far as, you know, conforming properties and the track record maybe they have or they don't, but then, you know, their liquid cash, and not much goes beyond that, because one thing when I talk to investors about, say, credit reports, okay, you have a guy with the $400,000 in the bank and a low credit score.
Right.
Okay, he's been through his scenario.
Right.
He probably had a 780 credit score at one time.
Okay.
And then had an event. So the person with the 800 credit score and $9,000 in the bank, they're $15,000 problem away from having a 580 credit score.
And we
so
just,
I would rather lend to the other one when he's already through that problem.
Right. I hear you talk on the phone all the time. And
right.
we just before we came here, there was somebody where he probably had one of them was, he had a marginal deal. And you honestly told the guy, he said, you're basically making everybody else money. You're going to break even on this deal.
Right. Exactly. And, you know, you try to talk him out of that, but, you know, interestingly enough, the client, had been looking for a loan for a while.
Okay.
They felt they committed to the seller. In other words, they gave him their word in a sense. And, you know, by the time the call was finished, that's why I was trying to be very exact, and they probably will do it. But see, they're doing it for a reason of they feel they want their word to be good.
Well,
and there's nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that.
Now, who wouldn't want, you know, just in, you know, terms of people or whatever, when you have somebody that's willing to break even to keep their word, when you finally get a deal that works for them, I mean, like, you know that they're going to be good for it.
Yeah.
I mean, they're almost proving that right there.
What's interesting is, you know, when you call somebody with a trusteed opportunity, they don't see the process to get a yes answer at our company. And it's not easy.
Right.
That's what's funny. Because, I mean, I hear you say no a lot. And people are really surprised on the other side of the phone because they think, well, this is a hard money loan, right? I don't need any money, and I don't need this, and I don't need that. And all of a sudden they realize, well, wait a minute. And, you know, all you have to do is ask, if you were in the other room with the money, you know.
Yeah, would you lend to yourself?
Yeah, would you loan this in this situation? You know, and some of them are completely shocked that it's a no answer, but they'll be asking for, okay, I'm buying this for 700 grand. It needs 100 grand of repair. And I'd like you to build in the payment. So if you could loan me 850, we have a deal, you know?
Yeah. I had one. I don't know if you heard that one, but I had one of those this morning too.
Okay.
And you just, it was somebody that the numbers did look good. I mean, it's just verbally, but he had literally zero money. And even if you lend somebody everything, if they have zero money, what if they have a problem? I go back to the, you'll probably remember this one. I forget exactly the circumstances, but they had borrowed money. They went to fix it up. Everything was good. And then I think a 6-month period went by. And then all of a sudden they didn't sell the property and they stopped making payments. Well, their answer was, that's exactly what they had.
Right.
And that was way back in the process. So that's when you begin to learn that, like, you know, money is, cushion is more important than almost anything.
Yeah.
Because you need to have the ability. You don't want somebody to have to sell a truck or an asset to get out of the situation. You'd rather just have them be able to, you know, make payments. Because what happens when somebody gets, what I found is people with, the, if they have cash, they're a lot more logical about what they have remaining. Meaning, hey, you know what? The longer I'm in this, the worse it is. So if I have to take a 10 grand loss or break even, this is a smart business decision right now. The person that has no cash thinks they need to, or they say they want to sell it for 350. We know it's worth 330, but the longer they go, well, now I need to sell it for 360 because I'm in a bigger hole.
Right.
So when somebody doesn't have cash, they don't act as rationally when they get up against that wall. They feel like they have to somehow come up with a solution that just isn't there.
When we fund trustees, we always have monthly payments.
Yes.
And some of our competitors don't.
Right.
Okay. So why do we go with a payment?
The reason we go with the payment is I think it's very important for them to understand they do have a debt. Because when you're making payments every month, just like you alluded to in the previous show, when you're writing checks on that many trustees or one, you're aware that you have a payment.
Right.
And when you're not making payments, it's a little easier to let things slide and they can accumulate on you. And, you know, you're not, I don't think you're paying as close to detail as you should be. I equate it to myself years ago. This is years ago, but I borrowed some money on my baseball cards with a friend of my brother's to put into, let's just call it a silly investment. Okay. Well, the best thing that happened to me was the thing didn't work. And I wrote my brother's friend a check for 5 years with no hope of ever getting that money back. So I feel like a monthly payment is a very good reminder of what you're doing.
Okay.
So for 5 years and now probably 25 years after, I've had no desire to go back into something ridiculous.
Okay.
Because I still remember writing the payments when I really hadn't, I was going to make so much money over here that I wasn't going to have to write any payments.
Right.
But you know what? I did have to write all those payments. So it was a very, very good eye opener for me. And I think those are just good reminders of what you're involved with.
There's times when people come to us with money and the trustee isn't a suitable investment for them. And
right.
Maybe one of those cases would be, they just don't comprehend what it is. I mean, let's say you got a settlement somebody passed away and you got $5 million. And it's those types of things happen where people come in and they just want to give you all the money.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it really has to be something that somebody's comfortable with where they do understand it to some degree and they realize there can be some flexibility on it. Probably the reverse example for me would be somebody that might have, say, less than that. Maybe they have 500,000 or a million, and they kind of are looking to invest that to cover expenses.
Okay.
That one would be the bigger concern for me, because even though the track record and everything else, you know, you just never want somebody depending on that exclusively to live on.
Okay.
Because if there is a situation where it's delayed or something like that, and sometimes, you know, going back to the other example, it's really a hands-off investment.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody doesn't have the personality where they can be hands-off, then they might be better off having a rental because that's just more suited for them.
Right.
So that would probably be an example, now that I've thought about it, of somebody that maybe it just doesn't work for, because you have to be okay with just receiving checks every month and not really playing an active role.
There's certainly in the last few years, there's been a lot more people that have money that have made attempts to loan directly to the borrowers.
Yes.
And, so just your take on that, because I've seen that done and almost 100% of the time, if I actually get involved and say, okay, let me see what you've done, they've done something we wouldn't have done, and they've actually broken rules.
Yeah, because one thing they don't realize is there are what they call usury laws,
right,
where you can only charge a certain amount. Now, you know, interest rates are low enough where that might not be, you know, an issue as much now as maybe, you know, a few years ago. But a lot of times they take the thing that I think a trust, from our perspective, we want to have the trusteed investor have very little risk,
right,
and the borrower to really assume the risk.
Right.
Sometimes, you know, maybe trying to get a client or make sure their money gets used, they might put themselves in a situation where they, as the lender, assume all the risk.
Correct.
And that's just not a good position to be in, because when you're in that all the risk position, once again, as long as everything goes okay and anything you're doing, it's fine.
Yeah.
But if you have a problem and you're in that all the risk situation, that might be a time you wish that you weren't in that situation.
Yeah, you've become a partner, not a lender.
Yeah, exactly.
You're in business with someone that you don't know.
Exactly. And I'm not going to use any names, but we've had an investor that, you know, has done a fair amount in the past. And every once in a while, I'll call him with a trustee, and maybe he's looking for a little higher yield.
Right.
So he'll tell me some of the deals he's doing.
Right.
And it'd be like, if he was getting 40%, I wouldn't do it.
Right.
In other words, it's amazing how much risk somebody will assume to get a higher yield.
Well, I think that's the biggest part of what a broker does, is they're a buffer between even the approaching somebody with money. In other words, there's all these barriers that you have that these people go through before there's a trustee that emerges,
right,
to say it's available.
Exactly.
And I don't know how many people actually appreciate that filter, because if they had their money out there, there would be no filter. There would just be opportunity.
Right.
And they would plug their money in. That's one of the bigger dangers for the two concepts that we don't use, crowdfunding and pools, because there's those barriers are really not there. You know, you're not getting a trustee run by you at all. It's
right.
Just funded, and, you know, you get a monthly statement probably that we're involved in all this stuff, and it looks great until it doesn't.
Yeah, no. Pools, once again, I think anything can probably work for people, but when you're doing an individual trustee, I mean, that is just the most simple way to do this investment, because you're looking at one thing, you see what your money's in, you know, you're very comfortable with it. When you're doing a pool or something like that, as you mentioned it, you're always getting some kind of return, but you don't know what's happening to the bottom of the pool. And that became very apparent in the 06, 07, 08, when those pools were literally filled with land deals that,
right,
made no sense.
Right, but had high yield.
Yeah, exactly.
Until they didn't.
Exactly. So, you know, that's the thing. You don't know exactly what you're getting into if the investment is pooled and you don't have any control over it.
Yeah, I think, you know, you and I have been around this business now, you longer than me, but I wouldn't put my money in a pool just because I don't have any option as to what's being lent on.
Exactly.
And I can't solve it without a collective cooperation somehow.
Right. And really, this kind of gets back to, we were talking about the personality or the temperament question. Me personally, and you've known me for a long time, lower yield for me is fantastic with virtually no risk.
Yes.
And I'll take that every time.
Right.
And when I'm talking to somebody on the phone, I let them know that the yield with us is going to be near the lower end of the spectrum because we've tried to take all the risk out of it.
Right.
So you can try to chase yield, but realize that doesn't guarantee you success. And I, unfortunately, when somebody has a track record with us and we don't have as many trustees and they search elsewhere, they just assume every trustee is equal.
Right. That the filter exists.
And that is not that, you know, they aren't all created equal. That's for sure.
That's true. Craig, we've run out of time. If you want to talk to Craig about investing in a trustee, call 951-780-5856 and ask for Craig Hill. Craig, thanks for joining.
Thanks, Bruce.
For more information on hard money loans and upcoming events with the Norris Group, check out thenorrisgroup.com. For information on passive investing with trust deeds, visit tngtrustdeeds.com.